Would you ask Pop that question?
Scrubbing each item piece by piece.
In honor of Black History Month.
Black History Month.
I stand before you on the shoulders of my ancestors, even my great-great-aunt, Pearline, who I spoke with when she was 103 years old, at the time my daughter Amina was born. I will never forget what she said to me. I'm happy you had a girl. And I inquired, why is that? Aunt Pearl said, a girl would grow up and give you grandkids,
and a boy would only disappoint.
Aunt Pearl, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
I fell in love with basketball the first time I made a basket. I learned a city game and I would play every day.
There were times during the winter I would clear an area of the court
with my sneakers to remove the snow so I could shoot.
Along the way, there were coaches who helped me build bridges to my dream. Along the way, there were exceptional
human beings, people who cared about kids.
I was going to attend the University of Tennessee. I scored 42 points as a freshman, my first game at 17 years old.
I entered the NBA draft in 1977. I was drafted by the New Jersey Nets.
In the fall of 1982, I became a free agent and signed a contract with the New York Knicks.
I was home.
New York City, what an unbelievable thrill. And to put on the same jersey as the Knicks legends I watched as a kid
was indescribable.
Earl the Pearl Monroe.
A player I watched growing up and was mesmerized by his uncanny moves.
Willis Reed, the captain. Walt Frazier, Bill Bradley, Dave the Butcher, heart, determination.
I treasure playing for the Knicks
and the great fans of New York.
We were coached by one of the greatest in the game,
Hubie Brown. I stood here for this moment of time because of my parents,
Selma and Thomas King,
who showed me the value of hard work. I watched my mother clean our clothes on a scrub board.
Scrubbing each item piece by piece. Hard work.
She would hang the clothes on a clothesline
that hung over my bed. And at night,
droplets of water would land on my head.
Flop.
Flop.
And parting.
I woke up this morning with reflection in my heart.
And
I went to YouTube and I put on a video of a song that's dear in my heart. It's a gospel song by the great Marvin Sapp. And I think it's apropos for this moment. Titled, I Never Would Have Made It Without You. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. When I look back at all you brought me through, I never would have made it without you.
I never would have made it without you.
Aunt Pearline, I made it. I made it. Mom and Dad,
I made it. I made it. Thank you.
In honor of Black History Month.
Black History Month.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hashtag give the kid a vote.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Mo Dakhil. We got Jay King. And we got the trade deadline coming up this week on Thursday. So today, it's going to be a lot of just assuming, prognosticating, rumor mongering, you know, just a lot of reckless speculation about what could happen with this trade deadline. I'll give you some either ors. We'll talk about a trade that already happened between the Clippers and whatever is left of the Blazers at this point. But first, gentlemen, we've got just a weird situation in Brooklyn with James Harden. We've had the rumors recently. We've talked about this a little bit. Does he want to go play in Philly? Is that going to happen this summer? Is it going to happen this week? You know, Shams Charania was like, hey, by the way, the Nets are kind of open to this, this discussion right now, which they should be open to it, right? You should be taking all conversations. I'm always a big fan of taking the phone call or taking the meeting. But now, you know, Steve Nash is being asked about in a press conference Sunday morning. And of course, he says, no, he's not going to be traded. But what does that even mean? Why would Steve Nash be answering this question? So, Trey, I'll start with you. Do you think that one, James Harden wants out of Brooklyn? And two, do you think the Nets would actually trade him before this deadline on Thursday?
I do think that he wants out. But I think in the similar same situation as Dame, like, they don't want to be the vocal about it. You know what I mean? Like, no one likes to be the bad guy and say, I want to be traded. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's kind of like, all right. And he's been through that already. You know what I mean? With, you know, not showing up to training camp and missing games and doing all this other stuff. And that was already a lot. You know what I mean? And apparently this isn't working out for him. And he may have to stay in his uniform at least until the end of the season. But, you know, other teams are starting. You know, obviously he wants – I don't want to say obviously, but I would assume that he wants to be in Philly. There's some mutual interest there. But it also has to line up for both parties. You know what I mean? Like, the Nets just ain't going to take anything, you know? But
right.
I just don't know how healthy it is to hold him hostage either.
Right, especially if you think he's going to – if he's going to leave, if you think that, like, this summer – and I doubt he would leave for nothing. You're most likely going to work out a sign and trade, especially if right. Philly is a spot he wants to go. You have to work out a sign and trade. And so I get that. I do wonder, like, if a dude doesn't want to be there, you know, why hold that hostage? Why hold that just because, like, you're hoping, well, we'll catch lightning in a bottle, everyone will get healthy, KD will
because
be back, and then
James
we'll win a championship.
Harden?
Sure, because it's James Harden, because but, like...
And the alternative, in this case, could be a dude who won't shoot. Like
that
James
might work
Harden
out better
is,
for Brooklyn.
Is so
but they
elite.
Got shooters. They got shooters, right?
It might work for Brooklyn.
people quickly forget how good the Nets were last season when they had all their guys healthy.
Those eight games.
Joe Harris hasn't been around. Even Joe Harris. Just add Joe Harris
well,
to that team.
He might be getting Grant
Hill.
It makes
a major difference.
He might be getting Grant. Like, he needs another operation on that ankle, maybe? That's not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it went backwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he should have been.
I've been
like,
waiting for him to come back.
Almost
and now they're like,
ready
oh, we
to
don't
come
know.
Back.
Yeah.
And, like, I love how, obviously, it's like, ooh, KD made a bad mistake, or you got to deal with this. Like, no. It's just that. The magnitude of the players that's on this roster puts the attention on them.
Yeah.
It's been so many different type of injuries, but like no one's feeling sorry for the Nets because again, they have these three, you know, stars of the league playing on their roster. You know what I mean? And so no one's looking at the important parts of them, you know, having to rotate starting rookies who probably wouldn't even made the roster.
Right.
And then you got, you know what I mean? Like, and they're, you know, of course they're going to slide games, but it's like almost beating them is almost like a personal celebration. So, it's an interesting season, man. In the past two seasons, at least, you know, these yeah. guys haven't played no more than, you know, 14 to 15 games together.
Right.
You know, in almost 2 years. So, it's a lot, man. But I think if I am Sean Marks, I'm listening to all suitors, which I haven't heard James' name in a lot. I've been seeing Ben Simmons' name in a lot, but not James.
Right.
Outside of this Sixers interest, but... I would pull that trigger just to,
is,
you know,
is Simmons the best you could do if you put Harden on the trade block?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
I mean, who are you going to get? Brad Beal?
I mean, that'd be better to me.
I guess, but I don't think Harden is going to love that.
I also don't
getting sent to Wizards.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Wizards want to do that. Like,
right. Yeah. Especially he's going to be a free agent. Like they're not going to give up Bradley Beal for James Harden.
I don't think the Wizards would do that either.
But that's the scariest part of the whole Harden equation is his pending free agency, whether he opts in this year or you know, the year after or whatever. Like the dude, you're looking at possibly paying James Harden around $60 million at 37 years old. That's not going to age well. It's not aging well now. Like that's my concern with Harden. Like he's looked almost seemingly indestructible in Houston, and now he's beginning to struggle with the hamstring and things like that and everything that's going with it. Like, I'm terrified of having to just pay him.
Yeah, I do think his best basketball is behind him. His best basketball is behind him. But at the same time, if you just get Harden and KD healthy and Kyrie Irving on odd or even days, whatever it is, then that team has a really good chance to win a title. If it's Kevin Durant, Kyrie every once in a while, and Ben Simmons, like that's just not the same to me.
What, but why? So here's my question.
Because
right?
Like, Ben Simmons, okay, when you get to the when Ben you Simmons get to is a better playoffs, fit.
Yeah, I actually think he might be just for the sense of when they need help defensively, right? Like, he's still one of the best defenders in the NBA. Like,
and
absolutely.
He can get to that Baja. You feel me? He gets to the line thing. And get to that Baja. Listen, Jay, I hear you, but I don't hear you. If they can get Ben Simmons and like a Seth Curry, God bless.
Well, I don't think they're going to get Seth, right? Like that, I don't think Daryl Morey won. Even if it's just Ben Simmons and like someone, like a Shake Milton or something like that, right?
Because well, I mean, he's not locked in though. I feel like Seth can be moved.
I think he can be. I don't think he would be though. Like I think
he plays a really important role in Philly.
But I'm saying if they do this right, if they go James Harden and Joe Harris.
I mean, if Joe's ankle wasn't,
I mean, regardless, together. I mean, I think he'll be okay. He'll be able to play still for the rest of the season, but
hopefully
for right now, just to get back Harden, I think they take it.
Maybe.
Okay. So you get to the playoffs, right? And Kyrie can't play at home. And it's just Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons.
Is Kevin Durant healthy?
The amount of defensive attention. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's say he's fully healthy. The amount of defensive attention he would get would be so stupid, and they would just need another score. And James Harden.
Why is that any different than what's happened in previous years? Like, look what happened last year.
Did you not see that playoffs?
Last year, yeah. But I'm saying even Harden at half speed, whatever he was last year, was more productive than Ben Simmons has been in the playoffs.
Not defensively. Jay, and that's their weakness.
But I'm just saying, when you get to the playoffs and you're playing the Suns or the Warriors, you need a second dude, at least a second dude. And if Kyrie were a full-time player, the discussion would be different to me, right? Because then you'd have enough scoring. Then it'd be like, okay, how do we complement these guys best? Oh, Ben Simmons is going to play a lot of defense. He's going to help set them up. He's going to increase the pace. He's going to help them play without the, you know, grind it out ISO style that Harden loves so much. I get that.
James Harden shot 30% of the playoffs last year. 30% from the field, 19% from three.
I'm just saying, to maximize your chance of winning a title, like with this current, I just don't think moving from James Harden to Ben Simmons does that. You guys quickly forget, like, Ben Simmons, he was so bad in the playoffs that his team's best player and his coach both came out afterward and criticized him.
Jay.
And that's why we're in this predicament.
Jay, there's a lot.
Jay, do they need his scoring? No. They need his defense.
They would if they lost James Harden.
Would they?
I don't think that's really true.
I'm not rolling, bro. I think, again, how this team is made up, no thanks, bro.
And Jay, you said, like, listen, you're forgetting the fact of how good Ben Simmons was defensively in that series. He did a great job.
Here's the thing. He relieves KD. KD doesn't have to guard the best player no more.
I think you could put just about anybody with Kevin Durant, a healthy Kevin Durant in the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, I think they could win a title. Right. So to me, swapping out James Harden for Ben Simmons, I'm not like, oh my God, I don't know what they do now. You go to KD. He's that good.
And they're going to go get a shooter if they go get him. Because now all Ben has to do is create.
And right now we're talking about titles. Brooklyn's on a 7-game losing streak, only a half game out of the play-in tournament. Like, they need to start focusing on some of, you know, actually winning current games to get out of the play-in tournament.
My concern would be, how long does it take Ben Simmons to get healthy enough to, like, or like conditioned enough to go play?
This would be the right about time.
Sure. But has he been off so much? Like, we don't know what kind of shape he's in, right? Like, physical shape. Like, has he been off so much that he is now susceptible to an injury when he comes back? Like, how much do you have to ease him into it?
He's always been a guy who's really worked on his game, added a lot to his game when he's not in the season, so.
Well, he's always come in shape, though, Jay. Like, he's always come in shape. He may not have worked on his game and added a shot, but he's always come in shape. He's just not shooting during pickup. That's it. He's the perfect teammate for Zach. Zach would love to play pickup with Ben Simmons. Are you kidding?
He passes the ball. He doesn't want to shoot. Oh, my God.
This was Zach Harper's dream in the offseason.
Absolutely. You know?
I'm not worried about so much of like, is he in shape? I think he's playing and things like that. Going to read Ramona Shelburne's article and he's playing pickup and things like that. But it is an interesting point, Zach, of not playing NBA games does kind of, and again, thrown into the fire does sort of put that risk there. That is something you got to be aware of.
Yeah.
But I'd still make that move. For Brooklyn, it's a no-brainer. For me, for Philly, it's more like, what are you guys doing? I don't think Harden's a great fit in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. I just think, forget about the contract stuff, but I just don't think it's a good
terrible,
fit.
Bro. But a lot of people think that they would do great. I don't know. I think it's terrible, man. But I just say, grant him what he want. Give it to him. Let him know. Let him go over there and find out. It's only for him to find out.
So let's talk about that aspect of it. If it is, like, let's say this move happens, right? And you do have Harden and Embiid together in Philly the rest of the season. Do you think Harden looks at himself as the best player on that team and needs to be the guy? Or do you look at him?
Absolutely.
Do you look at him, look at this kind of how he looks at the Kevin Durant dynamic? Like, nope, he's the guy. I'm going to compliment him.
So he's going to start off saying that.
Well, I don't care what he says. I want to know what he does.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's going to start off saying that, and then the honeymoon phase is going to wear off after 2 weeks.
two-week period. That's it.
2 weeks. 2 weeks, bro. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. He is not comfortable with being a third fiddle right now. He is not comfortable with that.
I can't wait for him to look off Joel Embiid. He's the third fiddle.
Listen, he's the third fiddle right now. And the second fiddle is a part-time player. He is not comfortable with that, bro.
But that's true. But if you look at this as also, this is the best we've ever seen from Embiid, right?
Yeah.
Would he look at that and be like, all right, man, this dude might be the MVP. Like, I gotta fit in here. And then next season, we'll see whose team it is, kind of thing.
No, if he's smart, then he'll defer.
Yes.
But I just don't see it. I feel like he's going to be, I'm telling you, he's going to be playing the most inspired basketball. I like when guys get traded and they fake be like it changed their life. Like it was like, I was just playing for this bad team, man. But the vibes is good over here.
Oh, I love the and vibes.
I found my shot. Like all of a sudden, you're making vibe shots. Revival.
He might even slap like when the coaches floor get, on defense.
It's just like when coaches get fired and that next interim coach gets the win. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it was always that guy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
The dead cat bounce, right? Man. Like that's
no. So he's going to look great if he is moved anywhere. You're going to see this whole he's dunking. It was like, it was like this weight lifted off his shoulders all of a sudden. Like it was like bad.
When he
juju
magically
in
lost
30
pounds when he got traded to Brooklyn.
Yes.
The other it factor here, like Mo said, is like what's up with Harden? Is he declining? How badly is he going to decline? Can he tap back into some of what he was? If you look at his stats, it's like all across the board, it's down. Scoring, way down. 3-point percentage, down to 33%, which is his worst, I think, in his career. 2-point percentage, 47%. He hasn't been that bad since his early days in Houston. Like,
Jay, he's marked down to
turnover
science
rate,
now, right?
Turnover rate, worst of his career. Like, that's the other part of this is if he does get traded to Philly, how much can he push them over the top? How bad is it going to get in the years beyond this one? Like,
right, but
Harden right now is really good
production.
Still.
Are we judging his production based on what it should be, or are we judging it based on when Daryl Morey was focused on trying to maximize his stats to get him MVP?
I mean, you look at his whole career. This is the second worst true shooting percentage of his entire career dating back to rookie year in OKC.
For sure. I don't know that I would hold the last two pandemic years and a year where shooting is down across the board. Like, I don't know that I would hold that as like, ooh, what about 9 years ago when he shot this, you know? Like, I think that it's somewhere in between. I'm not saying he's playing well and shooting well right now. I just don't think it's nearly as bad as people have made it out to be just because he's no longer putting up like 35, 10, and 9 every night. Like, that was gaming the system to try to get him MVP rather than like, let's play championship basketball. It was, let's get him MVP, and then if we can win a championship on top of that,
they were playing
great.
Championship caliber basketball
1 year,
a couple of those years.
1 year.
Like, they were really close.
1 year.
I mean, no, Zach, that's a great point. But I also think so what is Harden then? Like, what is a baseline good season for Harden then? Because, like, then we haven't really
kind of. I think that's a better question than comparing him to the previous 5 years when, again, when they were gaming the system.
Right. And all I'm, my bigger concern is, does he know that? You know, like,
yeah, that's going to be the ultimate question.
Right. Because, like, if so used to gaming the system, it's like, okay, he thinks he's this guy, and maybe he's not that guy. This is going to be an incredibly bad reference, and I can't wait for you to make fun of me. But it's Rocky III, right? It's Stallone fighting all these nobodies and thinking he's a great champ. Then as soon as he gets in against Clubber Lang, he gets his ass whooped. It's something like what does Harden think he is?
Did Rocky have a hamstring injury in that movie? I can't remember, because that's where that reference would make sense.
He did. I don't know if you saw it. Like, all in the middle of one of the fights, like when he's like he threw a punch and he was just like, ah, my hamstring went.
Right. Because that's what Harden, I mean, Trey, like when Harden comes out there early season and he's like, hey, I'm struggling because like I didn't really get to work on my game. I was rehabbing this hamstring injury. How much of that do you believe as the reason why he struggled?
Man, his ass was in Europe. What? Come on, man. But the thing is, he was doing it in plain sight, though.
Right.
Like, that's the crazy thing about it. It ain't like, I mean, I get it. He's famous, bro. Like, you can't hide if you wanted to. But, like, the whole world watched you, bro, just be at Fashion Week, bro. And hanging out with rappers, bro. Like, it's cool. Just say you don't like hoop like that. You do, but you don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, you just care what the fame come with it. You know what I mean?
Like, and hey, I've been in this since 2009. Like, I'm just going to live a little bit. Like,
yeah, you ain't have to be, like, lie to us in our face like that no more. Because what I was saying before I almost cut off Jay, sorry about that, Jay, is that
no worries, baby.
If you watch him and if you watch people that love stats, that are like enamored of stats, or you sit through and actually watch a James Harden game in 2022, you'll see if he has 15 points by the end of the first half, watch by the fourth quarter how he tries to go get that double-double and how detrimental it is to the Nets offense.
Yeah.
Like, he'll sacrifice points in order for his individual stuff. So at least when you look at the box score, the Nets won by 3. James Harden, 16 points, 10 assists. And you can give him an all-star nod because you're like, look at the numbers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, but no, on the eye, like that Suns game, I wouldn't go step in and say,
that Suns game was brutal.
I wasn't going to step in and say, yeah, man, his hammy doesn't look good. No, this is bad, bro. And you're not trying to get better at it. Like, that's the thing. Like, people were saying, oh, he's struggling because of the rule change and all this other stuff, no calls. No, it's just lack of effort. It's lack of, like, detail.
He looked a little slow to me. Like,
his defense is, like, almost LeBron-esque where you're pointing to the open guy. Like, I dare you to shoot it. Like, it's not there. You can tell it's not there. And, like, of course, Steve Nash has to say all these things and say nice things to keep the player happy just in case he sticks around. But he hasn't been good, man.
Yeah.
He hasn't been good. And he's letting his teammates down. You know what I mean? Like, so if he wants to go, let him go. I think, like, if he can play inspired basketball elsewhere, then cool. But he's not inspired in Brooklyn right now. It's just going through the motions. He's showing up.
How much of this is on Kyrie? Because
you can't worry about people that ain't there.
Agreed. But his situation has put a lot of frustration, I'm sure, onto everybody else in that locker room.
Sure.
You come into this season. You're James Harden, you're Kevin Durant, you're thinking you have a real title chance. Then Kyrie says, oh, I'm not going to get vaccinated. Oh, I'm not going to show up.
Look.
I'm not going to be a training camp.
We're beyond that. And for him to actually
He's still not playing. He's still not playing home games.
I mean, but the Nets have decided. So we're beyond that as far as a story. But I'm just saying, as far as James Harden being a top 10 player, which we dub him as, and say, oh, yes, you're better than this player. Technically, if you're option one with KD out, you should be still performing. Like, when Kawhi was out, Paul George was hooping, bro. No question about it.
Yeah.
Agreed, we don't get that from Harden. We don't get that from Harden at all on bad teams. They be playing some magic, bro. And sometimes he just kind of packs it in. No disrespect to the Magic. Sorry for Magic fans.
Disrespect. No, because
they are professional basketball players, and I don't ever want to do that. But I, at the end of the day, I'm just saying you can tell the effort. But the effort's there. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jay, you watch Jaylen Brown when he gets a chance to rock when Jason Tatum not there. It's like your boss is on vacation and you get to like mess around a little
bit. Trey, to your point, he had 4 points on 11 shots against the Kings.
11 shots, bro. When is James Harden only taking 11
against
shots,
against the Kings? It's tough to beat the Kings defense.
It got to be blood in the water,
I promise,
bro.
It's not. but okay. So Harden has played 37 minutes per game this year, right? And we've talked about the hammy. Because Kyrie's not there, he hasn't had as much time to rest. That's another layer of this. Kevin Durant was impacted by it too. And I just feel like all the problems we thought the Nets might have when they assembled this group a year ago, with the playing style, with the different personalities that can be a little difficult, they all showed up late. Like last year, everything was just honeymoon. Everybody was good until the injuries happened. If they had stayed healthy, that team probably wins a title. Now, all the issues you thought might happen when they put this group together is starting to rip them apart.
No, I don't.
And maybe Kevin Durant comes back and that changes.
I don't think you could say that. Like, I don't think any of us had Kyrie missing half the season because of a vaccine. Like,
but he's a volatile dude.
But
that's so different than a dude like hurting his knee all the time and now he can't play.
Yeah.
If it wasn't that, it might have been something else.
No, he's never missed because of that. Like, he's never done. Like, that is an extreme that we cannot be like, well, we should have seen this coming. No, absolutely.
No,
like, we can't.
No, not at all.
Even if you want to point to the 2 week vacation that he took last season,
okay,
right?
But that's 2 weeks. No, hold on. 35 games.
Zach, let me finish the point because that's exactly what I was about to say, right? Like, it's a big difference, right? It's a small chunk of time. Whereas now it's literally like, yo, if they end up playing Toronto in the playoffs, he ain't playing that series the way the rule stands. He's completely out. Like, that's a thing. But
I think they can beat Toronto.
Don't
Kyrie Irving.
Don't sleep on my Raptors, baby.
The Raptors do not want to see this Raptors team with no Kyrie. Shouts to the Raptors, but I don't think the Raptors can beat KD.
Don't sleep on my Fred VanVleet. All right, we spent like 25 minutes talking about James Harden. Let's move on.
Yes.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Speaking of things on the move, the Clippers and the Blazers made a trade. Norman Powell, Robert Covington to the Clippers in exchange for Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and a 2025 second round pick. Now, if the goal was to get under the luxury tax and just have a nice little development guy and Keon Johnson down the road, and maybe Justice Winslow's healthy and that helps you and everything, all right, cool. I'm with it, Blazers. But other than that, the more I think about this, I'm just like, that seems like an interim general manager way in over his head.
Here's the thing. It was all about the cap flexibility. And no matter what you're doing, whether you're going to turn into a rebuild or whether you want to rearrange things around Damian Lillard, you've had enough evidence to show that Norman Powell and Robert Covington is not going to be enough around that guy. Now, as you turn to rearrange things, and maybe you end up trading Dame, maybe you end up keeping him and building around him, but either way, having additional cap flexibility and getting off two guys who are totally fine and good players, like should be in, would be in any team's rotation, but aren't like true difference makers for them. I like it in that sense. And so I don't think this was like a panic move. I think it's more about what comes next, and then we'll judge him after what comes next.
I mean, yes, you do have to judge like based on the ensuing moves, right? Because they are going to completely revamp that. Like Nurk is a free agent, you know, like Trey said, CJ is going to be moved. You know, they're going to re-sign Simons and everything. Like I get all that, but like you tell me the best you can do for Norm Powell, who 19 points a game, efficient 19 points a game for a team, by the way, acquiring him that desperately needs his scoring, right? Clippers have been more successful than they should have been this season with all the injuries and COVID and all that stuff. Ty Lue has coached his ass off. That is a great defensive team. When at the time of the trade, I don't know what they are now, I haven't checked, but at the time of the trade, they were the fifth worst offense in the NBA. Only it was like Orlando, Detroit, Houston, and OKC were worse. Not a group you want to be in, right? And so if you're trying to be good, at least. And so they desperately need that scoring. He provides that. You can't get a protected first out of that. That's where I see the inexperience. Like the best you can do is a 2025 second round pick. And I get it. The Clippers don't have a lot of draft capital to send, but Keon Johnson can't be the first round pick that you got.
God, you nailed it again, Zach. Not being able to get the first round pick in this scenario is the killer, right? You gave up Covington and you gave up two first round picks. You're giving up Norman Powell and you're not getting anything back. Like, did they even shop him around? Like, did they even take a flyer and see what other teams might be interested in Powell in this instance? A guy that, like you said, super efficient scorer, locked up for the next few years. Like, you don't have to worry about him running off. Like, it's just wild to me. And for me, the big thing is, like, this is just seems like that's it. We're tearing everything down and we're going after, you know, we're going to build around Simons.
Which could be a good idea.
I don't know that means Dame's out. I don't know. No, it's not a good idea. What are we doing? Look, Anfernee Simons is nice. You're not going to build a team around Anfernee Simons.
I think they're trying to give, like, I think it works out in Chauncey's favor to coach a young team and just kind of, because,
probably,
again, with vets, that's not really helping them. Like, I mean, he has a little bit more leeway in this situation to coach, you know, focus on Ant and develop him. But then also you got guys that you had to play that were making so much money and like acquiring like a Norman Powell who was already undersized, you know, had him playing a three and defending like most of the people. I think it was the best thing to do. But I honestly thought CJ McCollum was going to actually go with them as well, but it didn't happen. So I'm sure whatever they're going to do, they're going to be taking, I'm sure they're going to get the picks down the line with the CJ deal. Whoever it may be.
I mean, better. Yeah.
So whether it's Cleveland, whether it's New Orleans, you know, or Atlanta, these situations, you know, they're going to get those picks back. And I think that's going to be the one for that. But right now it was more so trying to get that money off the books. It was all about math, like get the money off the books.
Get under the luxury tax.
We don't want to do a Gary Trent Jr. again.
Right.
Because, you know, they thought they were going to.
That's a tough part,
you know,
though,
they,
right?
They didn't want to pay him.
You moved Gary Trent Jr. for Norman Powell because you didn't want to pay him. And granted, like, look at the deal Trent got. Like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
He got the same money as Norm.
and they paid Norm longer. Longer. Right. Norm got the longer deal. Like,
For the Clippers, I love it. Like, what a brilliant move.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing about, so Powell obviously fits in. They need the scoring, and he's going to slide in there super easy. But the Covington part of it, look, Covington's been bad as a Blazer, right? Yeah. Like, he is not, like, and maybe that playing big in Houston scenario after they move Capella Maybe that was just, it wore him down and his body is just in a place where he can't be what they need him to be consistently. But you look like when he got moved to Minnesota, his job was go fix that defense. He got moved to Portland or to Houston. It was go be a big man for us. He got moved to Portland. It was go fix that horrible defense. The Clippers can play defense with or without him. So he doesn't have to go in there and fix LA weather. Everything. The LA weather might, you know, things start heating up a little bit. You feel a little better. He might
pull a Harden, bro, and get inspired.
He might. And that's the thing. Like, he doesn't have to go in there and fix anything. He just has to go in there and fit in. And that might really make him look like a brilliant pickup.
Yeah, I think using Covington as like your eighth or ninth guy off the bench, like, that's awesome. Like, that's a good eighth or ninth guy in the league in everything like that. The way Portland was using him was just, put too much stress on him. Now, like when he lost his starting job and came back, he started to shoot the ball a little bit better over the last 14 games for the Blazers, kind of showing a little bit that he could shoot again and get in that rhythm. But for me, the deal is Powell. That's the thing for me with the Clippers. Like, they add Norman Powell, and for me, it's next year, assuming Kawhi comes back healthy and PG comes back healthy. Like, you're adding Norman Powell to that mix, and now you're, you know, just your bullpen of guards is Powell, Trey Mann, Reggie Jackson, I'm forgetting another, Luke Kennard. Like, yeah. you have quite a stable there. And even to the point where, like, if you're in a situation where, like, hey, like, we have too many guys, some of those guys have value. The season Kennard's having, like, if you feel like you're not going to have enough minutes for him, you could spin him off into something else. Like, I just love the move for the Clippers for what it does for them going forward.
I was going to say, ain't Trey Mann in Oklahoma?
I didn't hear. What was that?
I said, ain't Trey Mann in Oklahoma?
I'm so Terrence
Mann.
Oh, Terrence Mann. Terrence sorry. Mann.
Okay, yeah. I was like, who?
No, yeah, nope. Sorry, damn. My bad. My bad.
Trey
folks.
Would not let you off the hook for that one. He would not let you off the hook. I've never been a big Covington guy because, like, he's not a great shooter.
He's streaky as hell. Like he's streaky as hell as a shooter.
He's a weird defender in that, like, he's really good in a help role, but as a man-to-man defender, he's really not locked down at all. Like, he was first team all defense 1 year and could not guard any of the Celtics in the playoffs. Like, just couldn't do it.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the year. Like, Rudy Gobert can't guard Terrence Mann. It doesn't mean he's not worthy of defensive player of the year.
I'm just saying, I think in L.A., he's a really good fit because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, when those two guys are both healthy, are going to be able to guard the best players on the other team. And Covington's going to be able to be maximized in a help role. And I just think like Mo said, to have him an eighth, ninth man role, assuming they keep him beyond the season, like, I think that could really work. And then Powell, like, they're just loading up for next season. They've got a lot of good players, and when you combine that with Kawhi and Paul George, that could take you a long way. The other piece of this, having Ballmer as an owner is nice because that dude's like, oh, long-term money? Bring it my way. That, like, there's a market inefficiency there because other teams want to get rid of the money, and Ballmer's like, I don't care what the price is for this team. I just want to find guys who can help.
All right, so let's do some trade ideas coming up before Thursday. I want to throw two questions at you in terms of what kind of guy you would go get. And I kind of want to, at least in this first scenario, think about the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Who lose Colin Sexton, they lose Ricky Rubio, both for the season, and they still manage to be successful. We've talked about them and their success on here, but what they could really use is another guy on the wing to score, help out Darius Garland, right? So the two options I've thrown out here, if you're the Cavs, would you rather trade for Buddy Hield or Caris LeVert? And let's just assume it's about the same package for both. It's Ricky Rubio's expiring contract and, like, let's say a pick. And then if there's a little filler, fine. But that's essentially the baseline of the deal. Mo, if you're the Cavs, would you rather trade for Buddy Hield or Caris LeVert?
We interrupt this program to bring you the following announcement. The Cleveland Cavaliers have acquired Indiana Pacers guard Caris LeVert in a trade, making a significant addition to one of the most promising young rosters in the Eastern Conference. This podcast was recorded before the news broke. I am a robot. Why do I feel hungry? Zach, get me on the podcast. Anyway, have a good day.
Wake up. I think I'd rather trade for Buddy Hield. It's interesting, though, with the Cavs, because LeVert's just a better playmaker than Hield. But I think I want to go with Buddy in the shooting. I think shooting goes a long way. You're going to need to be able to stretch the floor out for the big guys. You play such a larger lineup and things like that. It gets a little scrunched up there in the paint. They're about, like, what, 20 in the 20s in three-point percentage this season. I think you need to add that shooting. And although Hield hasn't shot it as well as he can this year, I think I go with him over LeVert.
Jay.
Such a weird question. I'm going Buddy too, just because he has an elite NBA skill and a potentially game-changing, in the right situation, NBA skill. He can get threes up. He can make them at a high rate. And LeVert is like, seems like one of those dudes to me who's maximized more when he's the guy. And, like, he's not quite good enough as the guy to lift you up. So I think I'd go Buddy, but it's also two totally different players. So it's a weird question.
Well, that was the point of
it. That's the point.
Yeah. It's like you have one type of guard on the wing and then another type of guard on the wing. And, like, what would be the better fit? It's kind of like a basketball, like, question in that sense. I don't know if you got picked up on that.
Yeah,
because if I was just like, hey, here's the same player.
We're talking basketball.
That's fair. You know what? That's a fair rebuttal. Trey, who would you rather have if you're the Cavs? Caris LeVert or Buddy Hield?
CJ McCollum.
Well, yeah, all right.
but to better support this team, I would probably say Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
They need shooters. Because Darius Garland, you know, can do his little thing. Caris LeVert needs the ball in his hand a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to take too many shots more than what they need.
Do you think that balances out the offense, though, better if you have two guys who need the ball in their hands? Just in the sense that, like, I do, like, there are times where we talk about Luka and we talk about Trae Young, and obviously Darius Garland is this to a lesser extent, but where it's so singular focus where you know, like, that dude is starting their offense no matter what, right? Like, you know it's going to be this one guy has to start their offense. Caris LeVert does balance that out a little bit, but maybe it's too much in the scoring balance rather than like a split between scoring and playmaking.
Yeah, he low key will try to take a game with him
in the second quarter. He's gonna try to take a game with him in the second.
I love LeVert. He can go, but no. From what they're trying,
he is a little bit like Carlton. Yeah.
I don't see him as the team guy like that. He's a guy that I don't even know if he's a starter, man. Like I like him on a Jordan Clarkson, Jamal Crawford type role because he can go get it with the second unit.
Yeah.
But the starters, it's like Indiana low key got nothing but role players and they forcing people to be stars. Like, you have to be a star. You don't want to be a star, but like no, they got like tons of role players.
Well, Nate McMillan just couldn't coach. I mean, Nate Bjorkring just couldn't. I mean, Rick Carlisle just can't. Never mind. I don't know. I lost
it took me a second to figure out what you were doing. Like, wait, does he not know?
I think I would go Buddy as well. Joe Vardon reported that, you know, there's interest there with LeVert and the Cavs. And so I do like that idea, though. Just another guy on the wing that can go like that because Buddy is – you know, Buddy's probably a better scorer than people like give him credit for, but it is still very much predicated on just catch and shoot, right? In that way, either way, like I think Caris is probably a more likely acquisition for them because I think the Kings are still talking themselves into like, well, if we can just get healthy, like maybe we cannot be a dog shit team. Like I think they seem to have that mentality still.
They've been saying that for 15 years now.
Exactly.
Is that,
yes, yeah. It's basically been their mantra for 15 years. I mean, Kings, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop. Like, I just want to grab the Kings by the shoulder and just say, stop. Trade Fox, trade Hield, trade Harrison Barnes. Like, trade them all. There's nothing there. Like, you're holding on to nothing. Nothing. Let's say you do get into the play-in tournament. You squeeze past San Antonio and the fucking Thunder, by the way, and get past Portland into that 10th spot. Then what? That's not progress. It's literally just because the West is down this year. You haven't made any progress. You're going backwards. Stop. Stop believing in a core that isn't any good. The Timberwolves have left you in the dust. That's where you are. Had the Thunder beaten you on Saturday, you'd be behind them in the standings. They're trying to lose. You're trying to win. At what point do they wake up? I don't even care about this team. I'm so sick of this shit with the Kings. Is anybody else not bothered by this?
It's too late.
I'm worried about what you've got against the bird. For anything against the bird. Consider the lily. He's having a go at the bird now. Give the flower the charm.
Keep going, keep going. Don't stop.
I'm not bothered by it because I'm not from Sacramento.
I just laugh when they come out and they go, you know, these guys are untouchable.
Yeah, why?
They're embarrassing Lady Bird, man.
You know?
Exactly. Lady Bird didn't get dumped for this. Lady Bird didn't get dumped for this.
I didn't get that reference.
Lady Bird's a movie based in Sacramento.
You.
Yeah.
We didn't expect you to, Jay. Don't worry.
It's actually a really good movie.
Was that the one with Sandra Bullock or whatever?
Nope, that's Bird Box. Very different movie.
Larry Bird.
We should give him the premise of Lady Bird and send him to the Sandra Bullock movie.
Birdman Chris Anderson.
Her fingers moved gently in his hair. She looked up and across the barn.
Birdman Chris Anderson.
And her lips came together and smiled mysteriously.
Birdman Chris Anderson.
You've been listening to The Grapes of Wrath.
Alright, here's another trade idea for you, okay? Let's say you are someone in need of a stretch four or just a versatile four, okay? And I give you the option. You can trade for Jeremy Grant or you can trade for Harrison Barnes. Mo, who would you rather acquire?
I think I'm going with Harrison Barnes. I just think, you know, again, the ability to shoot goes such a long way. And then on top of it is he knows what his role is, right? Jeremy Grant left Denver to wanting to be the guy. Jeremy Grant are you trading for when you make that trade? With Barnes, he knows who he is at this point. I'm rolling with him. 40% from three, that's big right there.
Jay.
I think I would lean toward Jeremy Grant because the upside there is higher. And I realize the role thing is an issue. If he doesn't want to be a sidekick, if he isn't willing to do that again, then that could cause some problems. But I just think there's a different level of athleticism. There's a different level of ability to get his own shot. And then when you look back to the last two seasons, when he was in a smaller role, he was really good at it for Denver. And his shooting was a lot better than it is now. And so I just think Jeremy Grant, you'd have to do some digging around to find out like what he's willing to do to play for a winner. But as long as that pans out, then Jeremy Grant would be my choice. Even though I'm a Harrison Barnes guy too. I like Harrison Barnes. I think he would fit on a lot of good teams.
So you just pick both guys. Trey, yeah. What about you? Harrison Barnes or Jeremy Grant?
Jeremy Grant shoots a lot too, man.
He does.
Like it's a lot of you give me a lot of black hole choices, man. Dude, man. I just never get in line, bro. They kind of wiggle out their role sometimes.
What's great?
Look at Harrison Barnes, man.
What's great
man.
Is I thought Trey maybe had muted himself, right? Because there was a little bit of a pause there, and I was like, oh, shit, am I going to tell Trey to unmute? And he's just like, Jeremy Grant shoots a lot. That was perfect delivery, man.
I had to think, man. Like, I really was sitting there pondering, like, man, that was a, I watched Jeremy Grant. Oh, my Grant. God.
That was great, great
timing. Only time Jeremy Grant actually just kind of chills is when he's on the Olympic team. Like, he just chills. Like, all right, just the one battle I'm not going to try to fight.
Right.
But he play with anybody else, he feel like he's a $30 million a year guy. He's gunning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm surprised
his last year in OKC and then the year in Denver, like, he was really good, and he was really good in that role.
He was, yeah, but I don't think he wants that role, right?
But that's like the Rockets paying Trevor Ariza to be their guy back in the day.
Right.
It's like, what? I'm like, yeah, he won a ring with the Lakers, but like,
what if he's another T-Mac? It's like, what?
What does that mean? When you know what he did, bro. Yeah. You can't just pay. I mean, I'm happy he got paid. Shouts to that. The Lakers should have just gave it to him, but you know, Ron Artest, they paid him the same amount and whatever. But to make him a priority, that's the same thing with Detroit. Like, I'm sure they're in the locker room fighting over the keys, him and Cade, when he's supposed to just, like, that's like your mom giving you instructions to look after your little brother, and you're supposed to give it to him, like, directly, and he's just doing whatever he wants instead of giving the keys to Cade. Like, this is your team, bro. Instead, he makes the money, and I'm sure he's little bro in them.
Am I the only one who's surprised that Harrison Barnes and Jeremy Grant are only less than 2 years apart?
What?
Yep.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a goddamn minute. All right, hold on. This is breaking news.
Barnes is 29 years old and Jeremy Grant's 27.
Fuck. He'll be 28 very soon.
Huh.
Yeah, that, does that change anything? Too.
Does that change anything for anybody? Because Jay, you're like the upside and all that.
No, because when he's younger, he don't think he's still like that. No. No,
I still think there's more upside.
When do role players get this so important in Herald?
It's a great question.
Is it the Twitter culture?
It must be. I think it is, because you have all these social media accounts that do nothing but just like suck up to players, throw a highlight package together, give be like, oh man, he's different. He's a problem.
So much
smoke blowing emoji, like it's all that shit, and it's just like not everyone can just be described as tough and different.
Like, I like Jalen Brunson, right? And I think
he's a really nice role player, right? Yeah.
Really like him, but I would never make him option one. I would never make him option two of my offense. I want him in Boston still to this day, but I won't be like, yo, if the Celtics get Jalen Brunson, bro,
look out.
Over. Like, no, I just think he's a good fit, dog.
He's a nice backup point guard. Like, just
Trey, don't do that to Jay.
I think
because Jay's writing that column
right
now.
I really like him.
Jay's writing that column right now.
Subscribe to the Athletic.
Hey, I love it, man. But I think it's the money being made too.
Right.
Like, role players are career earnings. Them dudes gonna lead a game with 250, 280.
Yeah.
And you didn't think, like, looking back, like, oh man, he was nice. He had to make all that money.
What you're saying, the floor for Jalen Brunson's like, what, 15 or 16 million a year? It's like, really?
But it is, like, though, right? Like, that's
it is. No, just it, where it, the money is. That's the situation. No, that's the situation, right? Like, but it's just the concept of like this.
Because
go back,
because we don't do
10 years ago.
We don't do percentage of the cap when talking about a player's salary. We just go with the money total, right? Because that's what we care about.
It's just, it is just pretty nuts.
Yeah.
But that's why they can walk around the locker room.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
Detroit,
they got fuck you money.
And be like, yeah. What? I know he treated that locker room like shit. What?
Oh my God. Can you imagine me or Jay as a successful, highly paid role player in the NBA? We'd be out of control.
Please. I would never.
Bro, if y'all was paid like, listen, imagine I'd doing a podcast star with y'all and y'all paid like Joe Rogan. I'll never get a voice. I'll never get anything said, bro.
Be like, shut the fuck up, Trash.
Yes.
I'm talking.
And guess what? We're going to all have to get in line just because y'all make the big bucks.
Not even that, Trey. They'd be able to mute our mic.
Jay Rogan.
It would be.
Jay Rogan is crazy, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Trey Rogan. Jay Rogan. Yeah. All right. Joe Mogan?
No.
Mo Rogan?
Okay. Mo Rogan? All right. Let's stop mentioning his name. All right. Last thing. God, I had a joke. I'll just say after we're done recording. last thing. Trade deadline coming up Thursday. Mo, what is a hope or an expectation for this coming week and like moves that are made or not made? Like, just give me one thing that you just want to see.
I want to see the Blazers blow it up. Just tired of it. They've gone too far with this. It's time. Just rip it down to the studs. I want to see the Blazers just blow this thing up. I just want chaos, Zach.
Jay.
This is a good question. I want to see chaos is what I want to see. I want to see Ben Simmons gone. I don't want to see them keeping Ben Simmons around. Like that, that would just be annoying if we got to.
It's super annoying if we got to go into the summer of this.
Stuff. Right. If we're in the summer podcasting about where Ben Simmons is going next, I might just have to find another.
It better be because he got traded to the Kings. He spent a month there. He's like, I don't want to be here. Like that. That's what it better. If that we're talking would be, about that.
See, yes, that's the type of chaos I want. Exactly. I want Harden to stay in Brooklyn, but then make a scene the rest of the year.
Oh, I want him, okay. Yes, I like that.
I want him to turn it up a notch. I want him to like pull a Kyrie and go missing for a week or two. I want him to show up at a Texas strip club while he's supposed to be in Detroit for a game.
Well, remember when his friend became a girl boss and that's why he missed like some games for the Rockets? I miss that.
Yes. So,
all right.
So I want just nothing but chaos. I feel like this could be a really active trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because the East is like so wide open. The East is very wide open. I thought that Milwaukee and Brooklyn were just head and shoulders above, but they've both got some issues. And Chicago's right there. Everybody's just kind of lumped together.
Yeah.
I'm in for chaos. I also think the Warriors are low key in a situation where they don't have to do anything.
I'm worried about Draymond's back, man.
I think they have to do something.
Yeah, I'm worried about Draymond's back for sure.
They need another big. They need insurance. They just need a big, whether maybe it's in the buyout market, but they need a big. Like they're just it's too risky right now.
Yeah. I agree. I actually have something similar in the a thought that's similar in the power rankings coming out on Monday.
How good a big do they need?
I don't think it needs to be a great big. Like, I don't think it needs to be some like dude who should be a starter. I just think they need another guy who can play some defense and be a big body for them if they need him for 20 minutes in a game.
They almost need
like a Rishon Holmes or something.
Something like that. Yeah. That's maybe
they need
even too
to go
good.
Find a Biombo. They need to go find another Phoenix found in Bismack Biyombo. Yeah, that just was another
it's crazy. It's that crazy that Bismack came back.
Yo, that was a great pickup. Impact. Yeah, that was a great
so pickup. Smart, right? Yeah. Like you just looking at every. What were the rest of y'all doing?
Right. Bismack just been out there posting workout videos left and right on his Instagram, and Phoenix is the only one that saw it.
Nobody else was paying attention to Bismack's IG.
Trey, what you've mentioned earlier, you mentioned the idea of like CJ in Cleveland. Is that what you want to see this week or do you want to see something else?
Man, I want to see a series of deals, to be honest. But I probably would like to see Ben Simmons moved or James Harden moved. I definitely want to see CJ McCollum moved. Shit, I honestly would imagine if they kept CJ and traded Dame.
That would be wild. Yeah.
That would be wild. That's a shake-up joint.
Utah's really interesting, too.
Can I throw another name I want to see moved?
Sure.
Bradley Beal.
No. I can see Bradley.
You've had
I
enough
see
of
Bradley
the Wizards.
Beal, but I just don't see him doing it, man. I don't see him doing it, anything like that.
I don't see it either, but I can hope.
I ain't gonna get my hopes up too high though. I think it's just gonna be a bunch of small pieces moved, nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I just want to see Indiana blow it up. What are you doing out there? Trade everybody. Trade Brogdon. Trade LeVert.
You want to see White Turner. Andre Drummond traded?
I want to see White Andre Drummond traded. Like I don't want to see any. Like I just want nothing
that's
but TJ's
DeMontis,
left on that team. What's up?
No, I was letting the audience know that's DeMontis.
That's, yeah, that's DeMontis.
So
it's not Goga
to DeMontis,
or whatever that dude's
that's
the backup.
So but
why?
Because DeMontis is good.
Yeah, man, he's killing it. Look at him go.
DeMontis is legit. That's so disrespectful to him, honestly.
Yeah, no, he's the new Vooch, man. You need a 17. He got you.
I mean, not this year.
Well, no, not this year. I guess I got to take that back. Not this year. All right. Make sure you are checking out all the coverage of the trade deadline week right here on The Athletic, on The Athletic NBA Show podcast, as we're going to have Tampering and Hoops Adjacent, Point of Contention, and, of course, Nerder, she wrote, all throughout
we're
the week.
We're going live, Zach.
We're
going live for Who trade is? Deadline. We're going live for the live, trade Nerd? Deadline.
Am I going live?
No.
Okay, thank
us.
God. I'm just no offense, but I feel like every year about an hour before that show, it's like, hey, Zach, we're going live. You can join us. I'm like, I'm writing 1,000 articles right now.
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
I don't know what you want me to do.
There's no words there.
We're gonna let you do that. I'm going to call you 25 minutes before.
Oh, that's fine. I can put my phone on silent.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Go check out the Athletic YouTube channel. Yes. That's where we're going to be. We're going to go live, I believe, 11:30 West Coast, 2:30 East Coast, just Woo. Before the trade deadline. Woo. So come through. We're going to have some fun. Woo. Hopefully we get some trades.
Fucking thing sucks.
Make sure you're checking out No Dunks. Make sure you're checking out all the coverage from The Athletic. Make sure you're checking out Michelle Beadle's podcast, What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle. For Trevon Edwards, for Jay King, from Odak Keel, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in The Athletic.
I can't believe we didn't talk about Cole Anthony in the dunk contest.
To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, go, go.
And 5, 4, 3.
I mean.
How would you handle that? Well, it depends on what you got there. Well, you just saw what he said. I ain't gonna get upset about a colony boy.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on, man. Stop tripping. I mean, listen, you have to... I believe... That to me is no big deal. Some guy calling me a boy. Well, I just feel that there, because you play a ticket, doesn't give you allowance. We all agree on that. We do that. However, there are lines, and it wasn't just Carmelo making the decision to throw it out. He confronted you. He didn't say, bro,
called The Victory Machine. It's also about Draymond Green. He's writing a book about KD. Name is Ethan Strowman.
Everybody knows he's rich. Everybody knows he has nothing to prove.
Comes all the way from California. Oh, now he lives in the Bay. He's been covering the Warriors for a couple years now. And he's talking to all those players looking around. Got a notebook, talking to people in the corner. Who knows about what? But you know what? He's writing that book. And it's about KD. It's about Joe Lacob, Clay, Steph Curry, and the Dynasty. I don't think they're going to like it that much. But they're going to have to deal with it. That's what. They're gonna have to read a book about the fall of the dynasty. One more time. He's writing a book about KD, Kevin Durant. He's writing a book about the dynasty. It's called The Victory Machine. He won't be too mean. He's writing.